Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. You can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you would bless the program tonight. Help us to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And in all things, Lord, we do pray that you would help us to lift up and glorify Jesus Christ. We just thank you for your blessings. Thank you for answered prayer. And we just thank you for enabling us to be on the air tonight. We just pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. It's the waning hours, last couple of hours of Mother's Day. And if you had the opportunity to celebrate Mother's Day with your mother today, that's a blessing. That's a privilege. I know my mom passed away about 15 years ago, and really it was right at Mother's Day. And so it was kind of bittersweet in the sense of doing that. She actually passed away, I think, when I was almost to the radio station to do the program that night. But anyway, I know where she's at. She's in heaven and looking forward to celebrating Mother's Day in heaven with her someday. But in the meanwhile, hopefully you're having a good day and a good opportunity to be with us here on the radio tonight. And we've got several people calling in, so I'm going to get to a couple of people here real quick. I know one of our callers asked they need to be on quicker, and they're going to not be as long, so I might get them here right away in just a minute. But reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find out more about me, you'll find out more about the program, and you'll also be able to link to the page for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and there's information about the church there. We're located in Richfield, Ohio, 4174 Wheatley Road, and we are not in a church building. If you're looking for a building with a steeple, you probably won't find us. But we're in a commercial suite, Suite 200, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. We're in a little commercial strip in Richfield, near where 77 and the and 271 meet there at Route 176. So they were easy to get to, and the midway between Akron and Cleveland. And I'd love to have you visit us out there. You can find out more information about our services and everything. Plus, at the half-hour break and then at the hour break, we'll have more information at the end of the program. So if you don't catch it right away, just stay tuned. You'll be able to get it. Or just go online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And there you can listen to past programs. I have, as far as I can tell, I believe I'm up to date with last Friday's program, which, by the way, in addition to saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are listening tonight, I want to give a tremendous word of thanks to everybody who prayed, everybody who called, everybody who sent emails and text messages and things down to Columbus, to Speaker Jason Stevens' office, to your own representative in the Ohio House. We have been talking about House Joint Resolution 1. And the need for that to pass, but there was a related issue, House or resolution, I should say, Senate Joint Resolution 2, which is basically the Senate version of the House resolution. And it was actually the Senate resolution, Senate Joint Resolution two that actually made it to the floor this past Wednesday and was passed. And we certainly are celebrating the fact that we saw this tremendous victory. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But just to let you know, it passed 62-37. We needed 62 votes. And what this means is that in August 8th, I believe, will be the date of the election. It'll be on the ballot. You'll be able to vote on whether or not we should change the requirement to amend the Ohio Constitution to raise the bar to a 60% majority. Right now, it's a 50% plus one vote, which literally can work out to a rather tiny number. A lot of people don't think about it, but if you consider that Ohio has about 8.9 million votes, the minimum to change the Ohio Constitution would be to have, I figured it out, if you look at half of 8.9 million votes and then add one, that works out to 50.00001% of the vote. So if you could, you can pass right now and change the Ohio Constitution with 50.00001% of the vote as 49.9999% of the vote. So it's less than 1/100th of a percent. It's less than 1/1000th of a percent. What does that work out to? About a 1/10000th of a percent is all it takes. And this will put Ohio more in line with the rest of the country, with the United States Constitution amendment procedures as well. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. And just to remind you, if you go online to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can click on the previous program from this past Friday, May 12th. I had Chris Long, President of Ohio Christian Alliance, on with me, and we discussed this vote at length, some of the things that led up to it, and some of the things that we can expect to see happening in the future. So pray for this. Again, we'll talk about that more a little bit later on, but you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I want to get to Nancy here first tonight because she's not able to stay too long. So Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Yeah, I just want to stay on for about 5 minutes. I was so excited when I heard your show on Friday with Chris Long, where you discussed this true miracle that Speaker Stevens did agree to bring it to a vote. So I just wanted to congratulate you on air. And then also...
I was going to say, too, this is a testimony of God's people that prayed and worked. You know, as I said, it's a miracle. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." I think we saw that enacted, acted out for us this past week. Speaker's heart was turned.
Yes, and you said that, you or Chris Long said, thousands and thousands of people in Ohio emailed, called Speaker Stevens, and it was just an overwhelming support. But anyhow, what I wanted, and also I heard the whole thing, Molly Smith, you know, she comes on every weeknight evening.
Right.
And I heard her talk about this one whole evening and urging everybody to do exactly what you said. You know, she's a Catholic, but boy, she's very pro-life. That's her main emphasis. And if you could just share the main reason I called, I wanted to get the phone number and email address, a way to thank Speaker Stevens, because I think, it was, like you said, Friday evening at the Bible study, this will encourage him to maybe do the right thing in the future, like he did on Wednesday. So I would really appreciate his phone number. Again, you gave it out one time, and I lost it. Thank you.
Oh, certainly. And as we were saying, you know, I don't know that he is fully with us as in supportive of what we did, but he did vote for it. He brought it to a vote, and he voted for it. And this is like going into the weekend, last week at this time, my understanding was that he was adamant that he was not going to bring this to a vote. And then a deal was reached last Monday or so, apparently that was the turning point. And Rene Russo, who's the Senate minority leader, Democrat leader there in the Ohio House, she was obviously very upset with what was happening, because she negotiated a deal apparently with Stevens in order to keep this from happening, and it appears that he went ahead and ended up going back on his deal. But you know, you think about it, he said he was going to support Derek Marin, who should have been the speaker, and he went back on that deal as well. It always reminds me of the fact that when communists take over a country, before they do so, they get people in the country. The term is called useful idiot. It's a historical term. You can look that up. And they get these useful idiots that will basically help subvert the country from within. And when they take over, the useful idiots often think that they're going to be brought into power by the communist takeover. But in reality, they're some of the first ones to go. The reason is the communists are not completely dumb. And they realize, hey, if these people can't be faithful to the country they have, why are they going to be faithful to us? And so they consider them a threat. So
that idiot term is so interesting.
Yeah. So
used
It's a very descriptive term. But Jason Stevens, and as we said last week, it all came down this past week to one man. I mean, literally one man and one opportunity. Wednesday was the absolute latest date that this could be done, that it could be on the ballot and take, and if passed by the majority of Ohio's voters in August, it will be able to be in force in November, which would raise the bar for the pro-death crowd to have to get 60%. In order to put abortion, enshrine abortion on demand up until the time of birth, no parental notification in the Ohio Constitution. And that's what they wanted to do. That was their goal. And a number of other things came out during the testimony time, you know, the debate prior to the vote. But Speaker Stevens, to contact him, if you called, if you emailed him, if you were involved trying to get him to bring this to a vote, you should thank him, because he needs to see that we watched what he did and that we're appreciative of what he did. The phone number for his office is 614-466-1366. That's 614-466-1366. Now, I'll give that a third time.
Is there an email?
Yeah, let me give the phone number a third time, though, in case somebody else is trying to write it down. 614-466-1366. You can email him. It's ohiohouse.gov/Jason Stevens. ohiohouse.gov/Jason Stevens. If you prefer, you can go online to ohiohouse.gov, ohiohouse.gov. And when that comes up, you'll see some tabs. Click on the one that says members. And when you've done that, that'll open up some more tabs, and click on all members. And when you click on all members, it depends on your device how it'll be sorted. It might be sorted by district. It might be sorted by last name. If it's sorted by district, that's what usually comes up on mine. It just clicks sort by last name. And then once you get that, it's easier to find, unless you already know where he's at in there. But what I'm getting at is, if you do that, ohiohouse.gov, click on the members tab, and then when that opens up, click on the all members tab underneath that, and then you can find Jason Stevens in that list, in that section. And when you click on his picture, it'll open up a page for Jason Stevens, and there'll be a tab there for contact. And if you click the contact tab there, and it sounds more complicated than what it is. It's really very easy. When that opens up, it opens up a form where you can just send him a message directly. It also has his phone number, his fax number, and his email address all there. The nice thing about this site, ohiohouse.gov, is if you want to find your particular house, your representative there at the Ohio House, you can find that as well. And just follow the tabs on there. You can find that. And there's a companion site, ohiosenate.gov. That's ohiosenate.gov. Mm-hmm. And you can do much the same thing there. You can also follow legislation there and all kinds of remarkable things that are there. It's a very, very helpful website for God's people that want to keep tabs on what's happening in Columbus. You can click the My Ohio Legislature site, and it'll click a thing where you can register for some bills and stuff you want to watch. And it's a great resource, and it's an easy way. I like this method of contacting representatives and senators, because you just click on the contact page. This form comes up. You can just put your message in there, and you hit send, and it's right there. It goes right to the member's office. So.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. I took really good notes, and I did contact him before, but I want to thank him. You know, it's a wonderful idea. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it, and thank you for following up on that. I think within an hour or two of the vote being passed, I sent him a message on this very site saying or thanking him for doing the right thing. And I think if you had taken the time to send him something, you ought to send him a thank you as well for doing the right thing. Let him know that God's people are watching, and when he does something right, that we're thankful. But also let him know when he does something wrong, that we're watching and we're holding him to it. So but again, appreciate everybody that was so involved in helping this, a tremendous victory that we had. Now, we may talk about this a little bit more later on in the program, but we've got some other callers calling in, and of course you can call in. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got John Brown calling in tonight. He wants to recap what happened yesterday here on the west side of Cleveland. If you recall from last week, there was a group of Christians that was going up there to protest the Drag Queen Story Hour. And John Brown, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call again.
Well, we're glad to have you on. Find out what happened this past event.
Well, I think it went well. We had about 11 people there, and they, I counted about 60 of the enemy, but I think I missed a few. That was early in the event, and I didn't like walk around to see. So they probably had about 70 there protecting. They didn't dress up as angels this time, though.
Oh, okay.
They had their standard rainbow umbrellas that they shoved in our faces to, protect the children as they were being escorted into the Satanist theater. But it did seem like there were fewer attendees than last time. Several of our guys have said it looked like there were fewer children coming in the last time, which, that's our goal, that fewer kids come to these things. We're not unlawfully harassing or threatening anyone, but we're just telling them, look, this is wrong. You're leading your children to hell. This is beyond despicable what they're doing, taking their children to this. So we thank you for everyone who prayed there. One thing I would like to thank is, the Cleveland Police Department did a commendable job respecting the First Amendment rights of, and, the other, the rights of assembly and other rights of both sides. They were actually there in force with some higher ranking officers. There were some captains and some sergeants there. They were polite to us. They were, trying to explain to the other side why they could not stand and, blow a megaphone siren in our face the whole time, which they tried to do, but the police told them, look, you can't do that. You can't stand 2 feet from someone. You can't hinder us. They tried to stop us from walking down the sidewalk on our side of the street to, be better within earshot of the families bringing their kids in. They tried to stop us, but the police told them to, no, you can't do that because it's likely to result in a fight. So, and so we're very thankful to all those who prayed. I know a lot of several of our people felt some, demonic attacks this week. we're not going to get into all the details of that, definitely we made the devil mad, and we made a lot of his children mad. And at the very least, we made 70 of the enemy have to get up on a Saturday morning and stand in the rain. So I'd like to thank all of God's people who prayed. I'd like to thank the Cleveland Police Department for doing their constitutional duty in a respectful manner for all involved. And just ask God's people to continue to pray. Pray that we have boldness, righteous boldness, that we're fighting in the spirit of God, not in the arm of flesh, which, as the song says, will fail you. We have discernment, what we're supposed to do. There's some things that God would have us stand down from, that God would have us continue to purify and narrow our message on the gospel and the message of repentance. These are not really political demonstrations. These are gospel messages. We have some signs that are political in nature, but it's almost strictly repent and believe the gospel. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Continue also, please. We had some of our people who were followed and were concerned that, they may have gotten some pictures that would enable them to identify some of our people. There were some people, some of the enemy, with very powerful zoom lens cameras across the street trying to take close-ups of us. But please pray that none of us are, doxxed or harassed or anything like that, and that God continues to guide us and, tells us what we're supposed to do.
Well, amen. Well, it's good to hear that everybody was safe, everybody got home safely and soundly and had an opportunity to take a stand and exercise your rights, not only as American citizens, but your rights as God's children to take a stand and to give voice to your faith. So appreciate all that you folks have been doing.
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to give that quick update and thank God's people for praying.
Well, thanks again. I'm sure we'll hear some more in the future. So God bless. And, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things happening. And one of the things John Brown said is appreciating people's prayers that they'd be able to speak boldly and all that. And that reminded me of Ephesians chapter 6. We have cited this a lot lately, it seems like in the past year or so, about being in a spiritual battle. And where he said in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then he says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And he begins to describe the armor of God. And, one of the reasons I use the King James Bible rather than the newer versions and all that, we've talked about this before, how the King James Bible is based on the Antiochian stream of manuscripts as opposed to the Alexandrian that underlies the modern versions, the Antiochian being the pure words of God, the Alexandrian going back to Alexander, Egypt, and Origen, who disbelieved in the bodily resurrection, disbelieved in the virgin birth, disbelieved in the blood atonement, disbelieved in the deity of Christ, and many other things. And so he altered their Bible manuscripts, and he took things out. That's why there's thousands and thousands of changes and differences, words left out between the King James and the modern versions. And the other thing in the modern versions is they take longer sentences and they break them up into short sentences. Longer sentences, which were in the original language, are there because one underlying thought with the sentence, and then all the different clauses help further develop that sentence or that thought. It's almost like a mini paragraph. And of course, we're trained today to speak in short, succinct sentences rather than longer sentences. I rather enjoy some of this longer sentence structure. And if you take the time to go through it and see where the punctuation is, you realize that when you have a long sentence with all the clauses intact, it means one thing, but when you break it up into smaller sentences, you lose the continuity, and you can change the meaning of what's being said. And that's an unfortunate effect of shortening these sentences down in the modern versions. So again, one of the many reasons that I stick with the King James. So let me come back here, Ephesians chapter 6. A sentence starts in verse 14, where he says this, and this is where he talked about taking on the armor of God. He begins to describe the armor of God in verse 14. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now that was all one sentence there, verses 14, 15, and 16. Second sentence starts in verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That was all one sentence, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. In the King James, reflects accurately that this is all one sentence. And it started with taking on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then went from there telling us that we need to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then in the same sentence, after emphasizing the need to pray for people, he says, "Pray for me, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And this is a part of the armor of God, prayer. You know, sometimes people preach on the armor of God, and they stop with the sword of the Spirit. And I've heard people say the only defensive or offensive weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit. And that's not really true. We have another offensive weapon, which is very powerful, and that weapon is prayer. And this is what he calls us to wield here. In addition to wielding the sword of the Spirit, he wants us to wield prayer as an offensive weapon here, an offensive weapon that enables us to go against what the devil is doing, to go against the attacks and the spiritual battle that we're in here. So let's see here. I want to look up something here if I can see it real quick. No, I won't find it right now. But as he's talking about this, he says, "Pray for fellow believers." And that's one way we wield the weapon of prayer. And he also says, "Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We need to pray for people who are standing up. We need to pray for people who are in the fight. And we need to pray that they're able to speak as they ought to speak, that they're able to say the things that God would have them to say. Remember, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And you know what one of those weapons are? One of those weapons is prayer. And this is something that we ought to use, and we ought to take advantage of it and pray for each other, that whether you're praying for me or somebody like John Brown or your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, pray, employ that armor of God to help people to stand strong in the battle. Hey, we got another break coming up here. Stay tuned. We got a lot more program to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can read some articles and things that I have on there. My latest article on there is Mental Dysphoria, where I discuss gender dysphoria in light of xenomelia, which is better known as body integrity disorder, and the curse of sin in the world. You can find all that there at livewithpastoral.com. And there's other articles there as well. I think my article before that was dealing with the stone being rolled away from Jesus' grave there. At Easter time, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. You can also listen to past programs of the Sunday night programs, as well as our Friday afternoon programs. And I am currently caught up to date all the way up through this past Friday. And if you're not aware, we're on every Friday afternoon for half an hour. 1:30 to 2 o'clock right here on this station, and invite you to check us out there as well. And there's a number of other things that are all there at livewithpastoral.com, including a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Richfield Bible Baptist Church, you just heard about, is the main sponsor of our program. It's where I happen to be the pastor, so certainly invite you to visit us there. And we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School on Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. You can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. I have to say, I was over there at East Coast Pizza just this past week. I had to be in Brooklyn Heights in a time that I'm not normally up there, and I was coming down Shaft Road, and I got down into the valley there, or down around to Granger there, and I was going to work my way around and go up Brecksville Road, and I thought, yeah, I'm on Granger. I'm just a hop, skip, and a jump away from East Coast Pizza over in Garfield Heights. So I just went up Granger Road, right up the hill into Garfield Heights to Turney Road, turned north on Turney, headed down there a couple of miles, I guess it is, to 4889 Turney Road, and pulled into East Coast Pizza. Had a great time of fellowship with Gus, the owner there, and took pizza home for supper. So it was great to be able to stop over there. Don't generally get up in that area so much, especially when I have time to do something like that. So that was nice to be able to do that. So also, I want to mention, too, talking about East Coast Pizza, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you can contact East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and talk to Gus. That's 216-341-9100. He can help you get set up in your own pizza business, not a franchise, be your own business. If you're willing to put in the effort, he's willing to help you out. And so call him at 216-341-9100 and talk to Gus at East Coast Pizza. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. We're talking about a variety of things here. And we have got Terry, who has been patiently waiting for us here tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's been a nice week. The weather's been nice.
You know, it is kind of nice because actually we were expecting possibly storms here the past day or so, and very pleasantly surprised, just hit a couple of little spotty things enough to run the wipers a couple times on the windows there yesterday and all. But today it turned out to be a beautiful day for Mother's Day here. We are celebrating Mother's Day, and just pleasant temperatures. It was a little warmer than we expected. It was actually in the 70s. We didn't think we were supposed to be hitting 70 today at one point, but very pleasant, very nice day, and it was a good day to be out and just to enjoy God's creation. It really has been very nice the past few days.
Can't complain. Friday was a little bit warm here, but, you know, you can't complain.
Yeah, it was warm, but, you know, I noticed at least here where I was, it we hadn't got that humidity setting in yet. And I know that's going to come here in northeastern Ohio. You know, you get into late June, getting into July, August, you know, the dog days, they call them. It gets warm, it gets humid, it's sticky and everything. But to be perfectly honest, I thought I knew humidity until I went down to the Samoan Islands as a missionary. And when I got down there, I tell people it's like this. We got off the airplane in American Samoa. And when they opened that door to the airplane and that tropical humidity flooded into the aircraft, it was like somebody took a warm, wet woolen blanket and wrapped it around us. And for the next 4 years, it was ever present. But it was still nice.
I always tell people, if you want to know the weather, just ask a roofer.
Well, and that's true. I mean, I yeah, I think about that. I have a brother who does commercial HVAC systems, and he's up on rooftops all the time too. And of course, you know, at least roofers, you get to be off the roof when it's winter time. But those HVAC guys got to be up there even in the middle of winter, because when those rooftop units go out, people expect to have heat, don't they? So, but
I gotta admit, though, some days when it's really, really hot, I look forward to the rain, because I know that I'm gonna get a day off or two. Eh?
But when you're up there, you're up on top of the roof. There's no shelter. There's no break from the sun, is there?
Not too much, unless you got trees around you. But
yeah.
But if it gets too hot, we shut her down.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes we work till about noon. We start early in the morning at 07.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned that. I remember when I was in college, we went on a tour of, we had to visit various natural resource management agencies across the desert southwest of the United States. We were down in, we started in Colorado. We went down through New Mexico, Arizona. We were in California, Nevada, Utah, all through that area there, and going in different places. And it was interesting, a lot of the places down there, people who worked outside all the time, I noticed in the summertime, they would show up to work, 6 o'clock in the morning. And by noon, they'd shut down and take a break. You know, I guess you get south of the border, they talk about having the siesta in the afternoon. And then they would oftentimes come back to work later in the day when it started to get a little bit cooler. And it makes sense.
I used to do that. I used to work. I can't do that anymore, though. I used to wake up early in the morning and I'd work till about 1 o'clock, and then I'd shut her down.
Mm-hmm.
I'd come back at 5 or 6 o'clock, and I'd work till dark.
Mm.
And yeah, I do that a lot, but we don't do that no more.
Yeah, it's a different schedule, but sometimes you have to, because you're outside. It's not like you can be in the air conditioning when you're working outside that.
When you're 63 years old, too.
Yeah.
You know, the body changes, eh?
Not as easy as when you were younger. And all, but yeah, I mean, hats off to those people that spend their time working out there. You know, you're talking about people who work outside. Think about the linemen that work on the electrical lines, and not only are they out there whatever time of year it is, but they're out in the middle of a storm. They're up on those poles. You know, when people's power goes out, they got to be up there. And
I'm 63, and this other guy, Bruce, he's 64.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still roofing. But
well,
he said this year he plans on retiring after this year. But
yeah, it's
I heard him say that.
I've been up on a roof a couple of times, and enough to know that that's not something I wanted to do on a regular basis. I not something I wanted to do. But I mean, really, we ought to pray for these people who are out there, working outside in all kinds of weather, because if it weren't for people up on the roof like yourself, or people working on the HVAC units, or people maintaining the power lines and things like that, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we have. And so we really owe a debt of gratitude to these people that are out there doing that.
And the important part of having a house, you got to have a roof on it.
Exactly. Otherwise, it's going to destroy the house pretty quick.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to bring up Romans chapter 12, but before I do that, I was going to mention about something I was going to mention last week, and that's the coronation of King Charles III.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I had thought about saying something to you, because you're in Canada, and Canada's a part of the Commonwealth of Nations, so doesn't that make him essentially king for Canada as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Other countries, too.
Yeah, all the Commonwealth countries would look to him as their king. Of course, the United States, we just kind of look on, you know, we got upset with King George, and so we always keep looking to the British royalty kind of like as our own, in a sense, because of being an offshoot of Britain ourselves. I guess you got to change the coins now, don't you?
Yeah, they're already doing that. And I was going to mention that, just because Camilla, became queen. That doesn't mean that if something happens to Charles, that doesn't mean that she's going to be queen.
Now, what title are they giving her? Because we were actually discussing that the other night. Is it queen or queen consort? Because, like, remember Queen Elizabeth, her husband was not King Philip, right?
Yeah, I think he was the same thing. If something happened, I don't think he would have
been
king, I don't think.
Yeah, he was like Prince Philip.
The royal family.
Yeah, he had a different sort of title. So, yeah, because I saw a picture. It had the King Charles, you know, after his coronation. Then it had his oldest son and then his oldest grandson. Or I should say his oldest grandson. I'm not sure which one's the oldest, but it would be his oldest son's oldest son. And they said the three heirs to the throne in one picture. So if something happened to King Charles, it would go to his son, his oldest son.
Prince Andrew.
Yeah, Prince Andrew. And then from him, it would go to Prince Andrew's oldest son. And
I don't think that he would want anything to do with it.
Yeah, so I guess that's the way that it runs. I remember seeing some article where somebody tracked down some of the family, royal family members, and they said, had it not gone to, I believe it was Queen Elizabeth, because of, I forget what the reason was, because remember one of them abdicated, was it her grandfather or father that abdicated? I think it was her father. But they said, had it not gone, it had gone a different way at a different juncture, they tracked down people who would have been heir to the throne because it would have went in a different line. And they tracked, I remember it was somebody who was like working as a clerk at a store over in Germany or something like that. And had history gone a different way, they would have been like the king or queen, whichever they were. So,
yeah.
It's kind of.
I watched the whole thing, the whole, and the coronation of the king, and I never seen anything like that in my life. That was the first time I ever seen like something like that.
Well, and you know the
quite spectacular.
And I know there's been a great deal of concern, and as we bring this towards biblical things, Queen Elizabeth had a much more. Shall we say, Christian worldview than her son Charles. She had a much more, I guess you could say, biblical point of view. And she tended to lean to a lot more Christian doctrine, Christian truths, whereas Charles has been more into some New Age stuff and giving credence. In fact, at the coronation, didn't they have like a Buddhist or a Hindu priest or something speaking?
Sure, yeah.
I thought I heard, read something like that, but he's spoken very favorably of a lot of these New World Order types of religious things.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, New Age religious, that's what I was trying to say, New Age religious type things. And speaking of the New World Order, he's, I think, much more a part of that than his mother ever was. If nothing else, Queen Elizabeth was very loyal to the British Empire and the Commonwealth, is my impression. I spent 3 years in England, actually. So, you know, it was kind of interesting being over there. I actually got to go down to London a number of times and, you know, see Buckingham Palace. And of course, you're living in England, you see all the pageantry and everything. But she always impressed me as much more loyal to Britain and the Commonwealth, whereas Charles, as Prince Charles and now King Charles, always seemed to be more of a globalist. And he certainly is a very active and outspoken member of the World Economic Forum, which is a group that's their goal is to set up a world government, bringing down nations, and nations will be subservient to this government. And call me naive, but I don't think that Queen Elizabeth would have gone on with that, whereas he seems to be wholeheartedly in favor of it. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about the guy, but you know, that's interesting. I should maybe do some more research on that.
Yeah, he is. He's very outspoken with World Economic Forum. Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't talk much about Christianity. That's for sure.
Yeah, he seems to be much more of a New Age sort of person, and the type of person. Some people speculate he could become the Antichrist. Personally, I don't see that myself, but hey, you never can tell. But certainly, he seems like somebody who is more predisposed to fold the United Kingdom and to also encourage as his in his role as king over the Commonwealth countries. I can see him using his influence to bring the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth countries into the global New World Order. I think that is probably a pretty likely thing, much more so than what his mother would have done.
Yeah, what Trudeau's trying to do too.
Yeah, and see, that's what you have. You have that in Canada with the Prime Minister, and of course we have that here in the United States with those who are in charge, those who are manipulating Biden and basically calling the shots are all working hand in hand, with the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. I still had this mental image of him, as a Bond villain. Somebody said it one time, I don't remember, it was on the radio or at church, somebody said, Klaus Schwab would make a great James Bond villain. And so I just got this picture of him sitting there behind this big desk petting this white cat, saying, "No, Mr. Bond, we want you to die." But but he would make, he looks and sounds just like a Bond villain. No endorsement of James Bond movies, probably Pastor Al here, I'm just saying. The mental image there, but it is something that we see in the Bible, isn't it? This move towards a global government, and the nations of the world have to be molded into it. And what better way than to have a sovereign over the United Kingdom and the, I'm not sure how many countries make up the Commonwealth countries. I know there's a lot of them. But what's that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but what better way to help bring these countries in to a global world order than having a king that's saying, yes, this is what's best for us?
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was in England back, and this was back in the 80s, of course, people were saying, well, practically they don't exercise any real power, but, in effect, they do. They really do. They can influence opinion greatly, and they can have a lot of power behind the scenes, even if maybe they don't have a lot of actual power. Certainly not like kings, of hundreds of years ago, where they could order whatever they want. They still do wield a lot of unofficial and power and influence behind the scenes, in Great Britain, United Kingdom, as well as the Commonwealth countries. So we'll be praying, see what happens, what develops there. So,
one person that I really miss is Prince Diane.
Yeah,
I used to be in love with that woman.
Well, she's in your age range. Would have been if she was still alive. But So
I really liked her. I thought she was quite a lady, Really.
So it's interesting, but a lot of intrigue there too. I remember when that happened. Yeah. But I just looking at the clock here. I got one more caller to squeeze in before the end of the break there. But did you before the break at the top of the hour, I should say? But did we hit what we were talking about there? You said something in chapter 12. Oh, we lost Terry there. I was going to catch and see what he had in chapter 12. We'll talk to him again, I'm sure, about that. But again, interesting things happening in the world, and continue to pray for things. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mary Grace calling in tonight. And Mary Grace, welcome to the program.
You were so on it tonight. I was like, because the first thing I was going to tell him is to put on the armor of God when you go out there.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
My Bible, and I just couldn't wait to get home to my Bible. Because I was looking at I think they're using a standard. I couldn't find Psalm 2. I kept looking.
Mm.
And I didn't even recognize it. It didn't make sense.
You said Psalm 2?
Give me, you know, I just need a King James.
Because yes.
That's what I know. And the point is, you know, I was like, wow, there is a big difference. And I just couldn't wait to get home to my King James. It was more accurate. And, you know, each word means something.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying, put the armor on, because I put it on all the time, I never take it up. And I'm doing that marvelous fast for Israel.
Oh, that's right. We're in the midst of that, too. And
yes.
That website, I was going to actually say, you were saying the name of the website, Isaiah.
Yes. 602.
It's 62. It's 62. There's no zero in there.
Yes, there is.
I did it with the zero and I got nothing. I did it with the zero. I did 602 and got nothing. But when I did 62, it come right up.
I know that. I saw that when I did Salem. But I'm telling you one thing. What amazed me is that Isaiah came up and I just went on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Isaiah thing. Because Ken Fish is the one that's behind that. And him talking to Eric Metaxas. And I get up every morning. I go to bed when it's dark, and I get up when it's light. But the point is, I was just really, you know, when I saw that, I was like, you can't play both sides of it. You don't like, you know, Isaiah. And I did, you saw the 602, right? Yes. But my point is this, I don't play both sides.
Yeah. But yeah, I just get, for people who are listening, if they type in Isaiah62fast.com, they'll get what you're talking about. If you type in 602fast.com, you won't get it.
That's all capital.
Yeah.
And
but,
it came in, and I sent it across the country. I sent it to Washington. I sent it everywhere. Washington State, you know, Florida, and Arizona, and all over, because I know people all over. So whatever time it is, usually... there's somebody even up when I'm up at 3.
Yeah. Well, and we do need prayer and fasting, because we were talking about earlier about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal, and I mentioned prayer, but fasting is another one of those weapons, and it's certainly underappreciated, just as prayer is, and it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, I just love you, Greg. But the point is, the sword of the Lord is the word of God.
Exactly. And that's another one of our weapons. Remember Jesus, when tempted by the devil, how did he fight him? He said, "It is written." And he quoted the scripture. He wielded the sword of the Spirit.
The word never comes back void.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love it. I'm so excited. I'm always trying to memorize it.
No, and
that's in Psalm 91.
And
that's marvelous.
That's what we're supposed to do, because you know, we're supposed to be workmen that we need not to be ashamed.
Gary understands one thing: study the. Actually, it's their emblem for Charles. Please look at that real close, real close.
Yeah, there's some interesting things, and we didn't quite get into all of that. We were just talking about some of the general things, but to everything from the orb that he's handed along with the scepter in ruling over the world and some different things. But we got to keep an eye on what's happening there. But Mary Grace, thanks. We've got a break coming up. Stay tuned. We've got an hour to go.